So like last year, 2012, we've just, all the stats are in, 301 Joburg adults, not including teenagers, but Joburg adults, told us in 2012, 301, that they crossed the line of faith through some kind of friendship with God Firster. And that's how I'm now announcing it. I said, guys, amazing thing, 301 Joburg adults told us over the course of last year that they crossed the line of faith because of a connection with one of us, one of you. And I don't say it happened in a Sunday meeting. For many of them, it did. Some of them, it didn't. But the truth is, they only got to the Sunday meeting because of a meaningful friendship with a Christ follower. Some had outrageous experiences with a kind of prophetic word out the blue that was a helpful moment on the journey of them approaching and crossing the line of faith and staying across it and growing in God, being discipled. Converts become disciples. Jesus wants disciples, not just converts. But I think we do ourselves a disfavor by making it about, you know, the radical moment in the street. The radical moment in the street when you have a prophetic word out the blue or in a meeting, it is a great part of it, but it's just a part of the process. So friend to friend is vital. Then if you look on the contents page, three steps and four tools, okay? Three steps to help us do it and four tools. Okay, if you don't like following along and listening, you can just listen. If you're good at following bits of paper but not getting ahead, that's fine. Good luck. Why friend to friend is better, just to say up front, every single one of us has the incredible privilege, an exciting calling of helping other people cross the line of faith. And for those of us who've been in church quite a long time, this can be pretty scary stuff because we are way better at kind of doing it, you know, in team in the church. That's good. Keep doing that. But God wants to help each of us be fishers of men. There's public preaching and there's personal sharing of faith that happens in Scripture. Both are valid. Right at the bottom, which is the best one? The best one is the one that works. Should we concentrate on public preaching or personal sharing? Go for the one that works. But as we all know, no one even gets to hear public preaching unless they've got friend to friend, some friendship deal going on. So that has to be the most important one. And there's three reasons why, I guess, Brightonians, certainly Johannesburgers, Joburgers, must have a authentic friendship with a Christ follower if they're going to approach and cross the line of faith and then grow in the faith. The first reason, on page four, is that modern-day Joburgers, I reckon it's the same for you, are suspicious of all things institutional. So when guys walk in, if a Joburger walked into this meeting who didn't know Jesus, or when this place is packed to the rafters, they no longer think, wow, so many people believe it, it must be true. They think, what's the catch here? What's the backstory? Suspicious of all things institutional. In Joburg, it's no longer cool to say, I worked for 30 years for the same multinational company. It's much more cooler to be less mainstream and working for companies who've just started and all the rest. Institutions don't have the same favor that they had in yesteryear. But wonderfully, conversely, people love authentic friendships. So my Joburg mates who don't know Jesus, honestly, they're not impressed with God First. And I ask them for lots of advice on God First, particularly on management issues and leadership issues, and I get them drawn as they see it. They're just not that impressed by God First. A church person, a Christ follower, might say, oh, yeah, that's quite amazing. What they're impressed by, and they've told me this, and they've told Ash this, and I hear them speaking to each other, they're impressed that I'm a genuine friend to them. That's what's impressive. Some of them listen to me online. One guy said, you're like Steve Jobs. And I said, why is that? He said, well, the way you do your presentations. And he wasn't like saying, you're the man. He was just stating it. And I thought, flip, that's, I'm doing presentations to them. You know, it's not like the life-changing power of God. It's just presentations. But on the side of the cricket field, chatting to them in their homes, they really appreciate that authentic friendship. I share my problems with them. They share their problems with me. Occasionally, I give them advice. Sometimes they give me advice. Secondly, my mates have such a minimal grasp on the basis of the basic issues of Christianity. So, brinkmanship. They're coming to church on Sunday. Well, I've got a 35-minute preach. The chances of helping them get the basics of God and sin and eternity and just the fundamental building blocks in a 35-minute meeting, sermon. Can't do it. The third, but if you're a friend to them, you just talk about these things as you go. I mean, you've got years, you've got weeks, months. You can do this as you go. You can feed them books. To unpack sin to the modern-day Joe Burger, they don't even believe there's a right and wrong. How do you do that? Oh, I hope the preacher nails it this morning. He won't. But if you've helped him, this person, through the basics of faith, that when he does come to a meeting, that may or may not be the moment. It may be have a moment across the line of faith outside. But what I'm saying is you can't lump it on the preacher. Thirdly, my mates have presuppositional objections. So it's not just that they don't have a grasp of the basic building blocks of faith. They've got some pretty heavy-duty questions. So Steve, my mate, he stopped me. We were having a burger together at lunch. And he stopped me and he said, you've said a few times, you know, the Bible says. He says, you have registered that I don't think the Bible's true. So you bring your mate Steve along to CCK. And, you know, Joel opens up the Bible at the beginning of the meeting. And you're riveted. Steve's thinking, oh, for goodness sake, is the next 55 minutes going to be about the Bible? But if you're a friend, you can talk about these things. You can feed him resources. Say, yeah, I'm struggling with that question as well. I found this really helpful on it. It's just 23 minutes. And it's a couple of guys talking about these really difficult issues of faith. Atheist, Christian. It might help you. In a friendship, you can do that. 35 minutes from a platform, you can't do that. But here's the thing. Friend to friends isn't popular. It's not popular with church leaders because we're control freaks and we can't make you do it. We can't program it. And it's not popular for church members because it means we've actually all got to do it. We can't offload it onto the clergy. And they go on sabbaticals anyway. I mean, how will we see anybody saved if they're not doing it? So the thing is, we need to regard public preaching and prophetic words and knowledge and things, we need to regard those things not as the basic diet. We need to regard those things as an assist to the fundamental game plan of each one of us befriending and on the back of those friendships, helping our friends approach and cross the line of faith. So how can I do it? Page 5, as I said, there's 3 steps and there's 4 tools. I think I'll spend the limited time I've got on the steps. So step 1, page 7, pick them. Pray for them and prioritize them. If you do any one of those, well, I speak for myself. Any one of those, page 7, if you pick without praying or prioritizing, it doesn't work. It's a 3-legged stool. All 3 have got to be in place. How do you pick? You need to pick a group of friends that you will regard as your priority group. That doesn't mean you neglect others. This priority group can get bigger, it can get smaller. It will change as time goes by. But the point is, if you shoot at no target, you will hit no target. Pick a group of friends. Consider them to be your incubator group that you are trusting will slowly warm up to the claims and teachings of Christ. How do you pick this group? Well, each of us most of us belong to one or more of these four social networks. You've got family and relatives. You've got neighbors. You've got colleagues, co-workers, co-students. And you've got those who you have shared interests with. Might be you watch football together, you support the same team. It might be you fly model aircraft, whatever it is. The category of friends are usually the group, the few that rise to the top of each of those social networks. And you might have one, two, or three in some or all of them. In Johannesburg, extraordinarily, neighbors, the second one, because there's so much crime, it's so difficult to make friends with your neighbors. And I've been fighting that for years, and now, you know what? It's much easier to go for colleagues and shared interests in Johannesburg, because you've got these huge walls, you've got laser beams, you've got dogs, you've got barbed wire, you've got machine gun posts, you've got crocodile moats. I mean, the houses in Johannesburg is just impossible. And do you know what? No one likes to go through their gate if there's another car in sight. Because, you know, you get followed in and bang. And so you can't make friends over the wall with them unless you've got an 80-foot stepladder and a loud hailer. And then they'll shoot you because they think you're trying to come in. You can't do it at the gate because they think you're tailing them and want to sneak in when they're electric. It's just so difficult. So that's not a biggie for us, but the other ones are. I know it's different here when it's a lot more up close and personal in terms of neighbors. So start with the people God's given you. Don't worry if you don't have many. Start with the ones that you do have. So pick them. Pray for them. Prayer is the oil on the hinges of people's hearts. Prayer is supernatural. Prayer draws God in. Pray for this priority group. And then thirdly, prioritize them. Now, you should be at this point nervous that I'm about to make your busy lives busier. I'm not. Prioritizing this incubator group of mates is more about doing your life more thoughtfully and leveraging your current rhythms of life more thoughtfully and more effectively. So, for example, if you go to the gym, maybe you go to the gym, think, how can I do that? And for each of these, you're thinking either to build on a friendship with someone in my incubator group, or I don't have enough people in my incubator group, I need to make more friends to put in my incubator group. Okay? So it's either you're using your going to gym or any of the things, ideas here, to warm, grow a friendship, an existing friendship, or to start, kickstart and develop a new friendship. So if you go to gym, why not go at the same time? Because people usually go to the gym at the same time. And day one, it's not cool to nod or smile at anybody. Guy to guy, you just don't do it. Guy to girl, she thinks you're creepy, don't do it. You just do your thing. But a few days in, you're seeing the same people. It then becomes socially weird if you don't at least nod at them. Say, how's it? Then a few days after that, it's socially weird if you don't say hi and, you know, what are you bench pressing and what's your regime and where do you live and what do you do for a living? And then the thing, and then if you're a bit diligent and it's just being basically friendly, that's the embarrassment for us Christians. Most of this is just like normal friendship. You know, it is just a small step to saying, let's get a drink after work, or let's do something, or we must get our families together, our girlfriends together, let's eat something together. You just deploy little friendship skills, and you're there before you know it. So you can meet people, or if you're going to gym, my point is you're going anyway, or you should be going anyway. You're going anyway, why not do it with one of the guys in your incubator group who does that anyway? And if there's no fit there, I'm not trying to make your life more busy. I'm saying look for where there's opportunity. Hairdresser. Go to the same one regularly, but she's useless. She makes me look like this for the sake of the gospel. Could that develop into a friendship? At work, how can you better spend your time at work? Lunch hours, time immediately after work to develop new friendships and develop existing friendships. Students. Man, you've got to study. Do it in a study group. Such a great neutral way to get to know people. School parents, think of your kids' friends' parents. How can you connect with them? Sport, you're watching the game anyway. Watch with someone else. Watch down the pub. Watch on the guy with a big screen. Invite people over. You're watching anyway. It's not making your life more busy. If you run or have any exercise, you walk dogs, don't run alone. Join a running club. This walking dogs thing. In our neighbor, we've got a couple of dogs. So I've been doing this. And Alex and Elka, who are a couple, they've got two little daughters. I've got a friendship with them just because we walk the dogs at the same time. Man, they forget my name every time. The first time, because the first couple of times it had been weird to say hello. And then it was weird not to say hello. And I got their names, Alex and Elka, immediately. They always, for ages, kept forgetting my name. But then they hear I'm a pastor, and we talk. They've got two daughters. He wants them, they want these two daughters, who are sort of 12 and 13, to be communioned. You know, and he says, there's a Lutheran church. He said, are you a Lutheran? And I said, of course I'm a Lutheran. Martin Luther, man, I quote him almost every week. He goes, oh, great. And I tell him about our high school ministry. I said, we help teenagers get communions. We love the teachings of Luther. It's very important. This is a tip a bit later on. It's very important to make like Paul in Acts 17 in Athens, when he used their vocabulary, not his own vocabulary, on the front end. Remember, he speaks of the divine being, and he uses New Agey type language. And one of the most wonderful stories of success, I've got loads of stories of failure and ongoing battles with struggles, for Ash and I helping our mates approach and cross the line of faith. We've got some success stories over the last couple of years. And two is Stu and Shane, and they got in touch with us. That were old school friends, but had no contact with us. And then one of their sons got a brain tumor, and I was the cancer guy, so they thought they'd phone me. And they get in touch, and they say, PJ, listen, we need some positive energy. We're trying to get as much positive energy around our little boy. Could you come and visit? I said, I'd absolutely love to. And if it's okay, I'll pray, because prayer draws the positive energy from the creator of all positive energy right into the room. They say, we are on the same page. Definitely, come in. So I go in, and they've got all these strange celestial beings hanging on strings off the drips over their, 10-year-old boy's head. And it looked like a really strange deal. But that wasn't the time to speak to them about that. This was the time for that. They are saying, we need help. And the only vocab they had, because they haven't been in church, because they don't know Jesus, is positive energy. And I think that's a great place to start. So I prayed. I said, Father in heaven, Creator God, I pray for your healing energy. This boy needs positive healing energy. Please send your healing energy on this boy. Amen. I promised to pray for them. We gave them money. We're right in there friendship-wise. We've developed the most wonderful friendship over the year. Probably 6 months in, he crossed the line of faith. She crossed the line of faith 9 months in. Their kids are all believers. These guys are so thoroughly saved. And it was several, I reckon 2 months before they came along to God first. And they sat like this at the farthest seat that you can find. They came. And people were nice to them. And they said, this place is full of positive energy. I said, isn't it? And they reflect back. They no longer use the phrase positive energy. But they remember that that's exactly how the thing started. Work, students, parents, watching. Yeah, meals. You have 21 a week. some of us have 58 a week. Hey, eat with someone. Okay, so that's pick, pray, prioritize. Build it in. Yeah, for us, the biggest area is parents of school friends, because my three boys are all sporty. They've all got, clubs of parents. Sport's a big thing in South Africa. So we spend hours each week watching sport. And it's great because my kids appreciate it, but the friendships I'm making with guys on the side are just terrific. Got a guy called Mark. He was just effing and blinding. He finds out I'm a pastor. Well, they all know I'm a pastor. Now the padre jokes and all the rest, it's just such fun. And I'm sometimes preparing because it's Saturday morning, you know, I'm behind the curve. And they always ask what I'm speaking on tomorrow. I mean, it's just like golden. And Mark was effing and blinding because there's some Christians in his company. He said, you know, honestly, I find the Christians in my company by far the least ethical. And I find that I'm tutoring them on ethics. I'm having to do that. And I said, I get out my iPad and say, mate, can I just film you saying that? Can you just say all of that again? He says, what are you doing with it? I said, tomorrow I'm preaching on exactly that, being living out our Christian faith at work, not just on Sundays, and I'd love to interview me. He just loved it. So he's there, and we did a take, and he said, can we do another take? And I said, sure. So up to take two, and I showed it to the guys, and I said to him, hey, I've got an idea. I'm preaching at four meetings tomorrow. Any chance you could come along to one of them? I'll show you on the big screen for three, but could you come along to one? He was there like a shot boy. He bought his kids. It was just absolutely terrific. And again, I'm moving on to details. With friendship evangelism, one of the most important things is not to give off the vibe. You know about the vibe, don't you? The vibe is what you don't know you're giving off, but they're picking it up. And the vibe is, I'm better than you, essentially. The vibe is, I have got more things to teach you than you have got to teach me. It's a whole collective vibe package. But it's basically the thing that makes unbelievers feel about the church and individual Christians that they're just a bit holier than thou. I haven't got time to talk much more about it. It is just such a huge thing. Don't give off the vibe. And when we talk about begin to engage on spiritual things naturally, there's a few tips on how not to give off. Oh, it's where we are now. Okay, so step two, naturally engage on spiritual things. First up, let them know you're a Christian in a natural and unforced way. So you're building a friendship with them, you've joined a new company. You need to let them know that you're a Christ follower, but don't do it in a weird way. Don't sit them down and say, before we take our friendship any further, there's something I've got to tell you. I'm a Christian. Go to that church, CCL. Don't go weird on them. Slip it in. Let them catch you reading your Bible. Okay, leave your Bible on your desk. And when they say, how was the weekend? Say, man, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, what a game that was. Saturday night, wasn't it brilliant? We stayed up so late celebrating after it. I was pretty tired for church the next morning. Could hardly remember a word the guy said. Anyway, how was your weekend? Did you get it? You're not. Don't go for the jugular. You should have heard the message on Sunday morning. All they hear, all they feel is the vibe when you say that. Secondly, live an attractive life. Not the perfect life, but if you're annoying, grumpy, high maintenance, then you will likely repel rather than attract to Christianity. Number three, ask them about their faith and just listen. So lines that I use are, so are you a person of faith? The dads, mums around the edge of the cricket field watching football, da da da. And what do you do for a living, PJ? I'm a pastor, da da. It's always the. And my follow up question is, and you, are you a person of faith at all? And whether they say yes or no, my question is always, all right, what does that look like? No, I'm not a person of faith. All right, what does that look like? And they tell me what they don't believe in, which is obviously what they believe in, because you can't not believe position X without believing another position. So immediately you're into the zone of, you know, everyone believes something. Do not show disapproval. No matter what they say, don't show disapproval. If your hands are in your pockets, you're a person of faith. What do you believe? What does that lack of belief look like for you? When they start talking hogwash, don't cross your arms. Don't frown. Don't go, really? Just say, all right. Tell me a bit more about that. Don't try and tell them what you believe. Ask what they believe. Why? It's called normal friendship. So you're genuinely interested in them. Now, it has side benefits of when the time comes, it's more likely they'll ask you what you believe, but you're trying to be a friend to them. Love one another as I have loved you. Fourth, listen to their problems. Maybe offer to pray with them. I know a lot of my mates' problems now. And many of them just say, mate, I don't know what to suggest. That is tough. Hey, listen, I'll be praying for you. See you later. See him again next week. I say, I've been praying for that situation. Any improvement? Talk about it. They'll let me know. I share my problems with them. Ask for their advice. Obviously, you're doing it thoughtfully here. You don't say, look, I'm really struggling with the doctrine of grace. Have you got any input on this? But I do go the route of, listen, God First is now this large, complex organization. And I say, this is so often what I say. I say, in terms of genuine connection with God and helping others genuinely connect with God, I feel pretty comfortable. I say, I'm seeing, you know, men like us, lives transformed. What I'm really struggling with, however, is the sort of backroom organization. Because, you know, as we know, we've got 9 different congregations around the city. I said, tell me about HR. How do you do that? I said, I've got this terrible situation. We don't have enough to pay this guy. I think I'm going to have to lay him off. A church isn't as, you know, just brutal as a corporation because there's the whole family of God element. How would I go about doing this? This isn't hypothetical. This is all absolutely real. And then I talk about the finances. So how do we set this thing up? And they just cannot believe that we're a member-funded organization. They think money comes from head office in Brighton. In fact, there could be wisdom in that. And they say, you know, what's your budget? I say, a couple of million. They say, yeah. So no, a month. How many employees do you have? Oh, 50, 60. Where's all the money come from? So we give. So they just can't believe it. But what we've got to that. They've got this, what, you all give away your money. And we've only got to that because I've said, can you help us with the problem, the finances? Do it personally with your mates. So can you help with my budget? Look, this is my budget. I give away 10%, 13%, 13%. Mate, how do you do this? You're just a wizard in property. In shares, how do you do it? So we're asking, we're sharing problems, we're asking. They say, how's your marriage going? I said, pretty good, busy, I don't think I'm doing great in that area. We just want to be lenient in our hearts towards them. And don't think you have to be the shining example for Jesus. You will be an amazing shining example for Jesus, but the vibe, you've just got to undercut the vibe, whatever way you can. Sixthly, use the various tools. Okay, we'll get on to tools in a minute. Right, so step one, pick, pray, prioritize. Say that. Pick, pray, prioritize. Step two, naturally begin to engage on meaningful things or spiritual things. Step three, and it must almost always, again, there's no equation, exact science, but gradually draw into your church community. Think of a two-part process. Firstly, help, top of page 11, help your unbelieving friends make friends with your believing friends. And play it cool, okay? It's not, okay, I want to introduce you to Fred. He's a believing friend. This is Alex. He's not a believing friend. No, you want to create natural environments. And then step two would be invite them along to church events and church moments. And you've got many different sorts of ones. Good for you, but it's so much better as a trend, as a norm, to just naturally develop a friendship group between your believing and your unbelieving friends. Our corporate witness greatly enhances our individual witness. The big fat paragraph on page 11, halfway down that paragraph, Tim Chester, Crowded House, says, to reach the many people today who've rejected church, we need to take church to them by doing mission in the context of ordinary life. As people hang out with us, eat meals with us, do chores, they'll encounter a disparate group of people who are somehow family together, a community that challenges their priorities and provokes their questions. Over the page, top paragraph, an excellent thing that happens when we mix our groups is that we can fish as a team. So what will happen is a scenario like this. you might be the one, or someone else in church might be the one to draw unbelieving friend X into a believing group of friends. So one guy draws them in. But then another guy is really good at talking through their objections to Christianity. You know, there's someone in your small group and you just think, you are so clever and good at that. When someone says to you, why does a good God allow suffering? You go, And someone else says, well, I think about that. That's the person I'm talking about. Then another person is really good at showing practical love of Jesus. So they haven't got the bucks for a plumber and you go around and fix their tap. You help them move house with your trailer, whatever it is. And then it can be a fourth person in the group that actually clinches the deal and helps them across the line of faith. That person who's just really good, really bold and really, really good at doing that. Fishing in a team is a brilliant thing. The last paragraph on page 12, I just want to read this out because I'm not sure I can say it live better than I've said it here. All this presupposes a church that is suitable for unbelievers in terms of the vibe, the people, and the meetings that it has. Now, this is a bit tough, okay? I mean, unfortunately, you're this kind of church, but if you're not confident that your church will assist you as you work to reach your friends with the gospel, then you need to change church to one that's geared for unbelievers. Okay, I want to go on record and saying, if CCK is not working to help you in your God-given calling of helping your unbelieving friends toward and across the line of faith, you must leave CCK. Great church. Try St. Peter's. If that doesn't work for you, move back to CCK. Find another church. There are good reasons to leave churches. This is the best of all reasons to move to another church. I guess you could stay on a bit and try and change the church to be more seeker-sensible. But unless you are the church leader, you'll probably fail. So leave with a clear conscience. Think about it. A church not suitable for unbelievers is like a hospital not suitable for sick people. Mission's at the heart of God and at the heart of the church. So join a church that is deliberately missional. If a church seems perfect in every other area but is casual about advancing the gospel to unbelievers, don't be part of it. You need a church that's missional in its strategy, events, and Sunday meetings. And importantly, it must be a church that continuously trains, equips, and provokes you to friend-to-friend evangelism. Okay, guys, I'm done. Let me just do 10 seconds, maybe 30 seconds on tools. If you look at tools, I just want to whet your appetite. Personal testimony, I give about 12 different examples. Must be gritty and honest. Prepare a 30-second and three-minute version because sometimes you've only got 30 seconds, sometimes you've got 3 minutes. Major on belief, not behavior or benefits. Okay, people are not impressed that your life got better when you became a Christian. You think they would be, they're not. People's lives get better when they listen to Dr. Phil or Oprah or do that improvement scheme or that improvement scheme. Our testimonies must be gospel-centered, which means you focus on believing something is different, believing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's examples for that. Tool two is objections. All these answers and objections are ones that I use. They may not be the best answers, but they're working for me for some degree. Common objections and answers that you can really get into your head and heart. And you can even just, man, you can just photocopy the pages and give them to them if you want. Then I give five different gospel presentations. Those, again, you can photocopy them and sit down and talk someone through them. But remember, there are different ones because whilst the gospel message is the same, ultimately, how you present it to different people must change according to their context. So John chapter 3, Nicodemus, Jesus used the renewal analogy. He said you need to be renewed. Woman in chapter 4 of John at the well, he uses the satisfaction analogy. He says you're not satisfied, I can make you satisfied. The paralytic coming down through the roof, he just went straight for you're a sinner and I can forgive you. So Jesus was very careful and thoughtful about how he packaged the gospel to different people. So there's five different gospel presentations. I started with one in Johannesburg. And that was the sin one. And I didn't do too well. In Zimbabwe, it worked pretty well. And I found more and more in Johannesburg that going the sinner's idolatry one is so helpful for my mates. So we were having this discussion about Lance Armstrong by the side of the cricket field. They said, PJ, what do you reckon about it all? I said, Lance is just the same as me and you, I said. He's looking for something in life that satisfies. So he did. He built his whole life in the direction of something that he thought would satisfy. And now I think he's saying sorry so he can start winning again in some other area. And I said, we all reach for that. And as we all know, nothing satisfies, does it? Not winning, not money, which is why, you know, satisfaction can't be found through a created thing. And I just leave it there. And they all nodded. I couldn't believe it. Nodded. I thought, that was just brilliant, God. Thank you so much for the whole Lance Armstrong thing. That was that one there. And these guys have got a social conscience. I mean, they can be terrible husbands, really weak fathers, but they really do care about the city and the nation and earth. And so when you go the renewal route, that God is making things better, hippies, tree huggers, herbal tea drinkers, basically anyone who's got a social conscience of any sort, their ears prick up. What, the gospel is about making society better? That can be a great way in. So there's five different versions. I'm sure you'll come up with 6, 7, and 8. I'm sure you'll improve on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's just to get you out the blocks. And then the final tool is have some resources at your fingertips. There's a particular message or part of a message or book or whatever it might be from this church or elsewhere. Get that in your bank. And when you give it to someone, say, I found this helpful. You might as well. Don't say you've got to listen to this because you're a sinner. Obviously, play it cool. Avoid the vibe at all cost. Right, with all this, good luck and God bless. My time's up because we're going to be doing an interview. Let me just pray for you. Father, I want to thank you so much that you, through your son Jesus, personally engaged with me. I want to thank you that you didn't outsource it to anyone else. I want to thank you that although you used different conduits, it was you. And I pray we would be Emmanuel. I pray we would be amongst. I pray for a whole fresh army in Joburg and Brighton of friend-to-friend evangelists. In fact, it's just friend-to-friend. It's friendship. Full stop. Because out of friendship, we're going to do evangelism. Watch out for the phrase, friendship evangelism. It's friendship. And from there, I pray you'd help us with that, Lord. We want to be fishers of men. Individually, help us with steps, help us with tools. I pray it'd help each one of us to find our own stride in you, but I pray for every one of us that we'd make some progress on it in 2013. In Jesus' name, amen.